Blog Talk Radio.
Joining me tonight is Andrea Feinberg. She is the president of Coaching Insight LLC, which identifies and leverages underused assets for small business owners. As a Wall Street executive, wholesale gift business owner, marketing consultant, and coach, Andrea has 30 years experience helping clients articulate, achieve, and exceed their goals, whether for business or for their professional lives. The key to her business process is a simple yet powerful concept. How we respond to the realities and circumstances of our businesses has a fundamental impact on what those realities and circumstances are. She is a graduate of Coach University's 3-year advanced coach training program, a founding member of Coachville and of the International Association of Coaching, a certified strategic business leadership coach, and certified emotional intelligence mentor. Andrea received her certified business behavioral analyst designation from Target Training International. Thank you for joining us this evening, Andrea.
Thank you, Stacy.
Tell me a little bit about your background. I know I just talked a little bit about your bio, but could you go into it more deeply and how you came to be interested in, and involved in business coaching?
Oh, of course, and thank you so much. I really enjoyed this opportunity to speak with you today. I come to business coaching after having spent, fortunately for me, a very diverse business career. 10 years on Wall Street and moved into my own business, which I owned for 11 years. And did it by taking advantage of all the smart thinking I had learned being on Wall Street and getting that MBA. And I thought a lot about what kind of business I wanted to be in and the competitive factors and the marketplace and all the smart things a business person looks at. And after a couple of years, I discovered I really hated my business. I didn't hate it because I was in business. I really enjoy business ownership. But I realized that I simply did not like the business I was in, the industry I was in, which was in the wholesale gift arena. And ironically, I came to realize that with all my smart questions about deciding what business do I want to be in, I had neglected to ask the very important questions I now ask all my clients, which is, what are the kinds of things I really enjoy doing? What are the strengths I have that move me forward every day? What are the kinds of people who bring out the best in me? And all these kinds of personal questions, which at the time never occurred to me, were viable questions to ask when considering what business to go into, turned out to be the reason I hated my business. And so after a period of soul searching and doing some exploration, I was very fortunate to discover coaching, which at the time, in the late 1990s, was a fairly new concept as a unique profession. And I explored it and discovered this is right up my alley. This is exactly what I'm suited to do. And I was able to sell my business to an employee and enrolled in Coach U and never looked back. And I can happily say I am a model of what the happy business owner ought to look like, because I love what I do. I enjoy the content of the material I work with. I really enjoy and learn from the people who I meet and work with as a coach. And I also have the opportunity to enjoy a very rich personal life as well.
Well, you have quite a background.
Thank you
for sharing it with us. I understand you just published your first book, Time Junkies, 101 Ways for Business Owners to Break the Habit and Get More Free Time Now.
Yes, thank you. I literally just published my own book. I published it myself. I designed it with the help of some really smart outsourcing. I've really learned how to take advantage of 21st century business tools. And I'm really very excited. I literally just got cartons of the book earlier this week. And it is truly a very practical book. It is a tips book, 101 tips to help small business owners learn how to make time their friend and not the enemy that they're racing against every day.
I see. Well, that sounds very interesting. Well, on a much needed topic. What brought you to take this on, this book?
I always get welcome kits, you know, that first intake bit of material from a new client that gives me a sense of where they are in their lives and business and the context for the obstacle they want to pursue. And I started to see this remarkable consistency, whether I was working with men or women or people earlier or later in the stages of the life cycle of their business, and regardless of the industry they were in, every one of them was telling me that they had an enormous desire to find more free time to spend with their family and to pursue dreams that business ownership was sort of pushing aside and out of the realm of possibility for them. And I found this very ironic because so often wanting to be a business owner was the dream at one time. And interestingly, as they got more and more into the ownership of their business, that seemed to be the obstacle preventing them from enjoying their dreams. So in starting to get this sense of consistency, I wanted to see just how big this was. And last fall, I distributed a survey to about 1,000 readers, all business owners, of my e-newsletter. And I asked them how they define success, and I gave them a few elements that you might commonly hear someone say this was what was important, you know, financial success, good health, reputation for excellence in one's industry, the ability to enjoy free time. And when I got back the results, I was really surprised to see that nearly 80% of them said that having more free time was absolutely key to their vision of success. And I was really kind of blown away by those results.
Well, but it makes sense. I mean, I can see where you would want to have, I would think that they would want, well, you know what? This next question, so I'll just edit this part out. Well, wouldn't business people rather have money than time?
Well, you know, of course, everybody wants to have a nice pot of money. You know, for whatever reason, at the very least, having money is a strong indicator of a successful business, a secure life, and obviously the ability to endow worthwhile endeavors or just to feel comfortable that we can live without worry. Yet a lot of the business owners who are both my clients and who responded to this survey seem to find that they're not able to get to the true money-making endeavors without having more access to free time to think. So many business owners don't think that they have permission to just sit and think and envision and strategize, that it's not an acceptable activity of business ownership. And so they don't feel they've got the time to do those kinds of things that would allow them to develop the big ideas. And so I can see how their thinking came to this, that having more free time is really a key to making more money, to enjoying one's business, and to loving life. And yet at the same time, this is a bit of a puzzle because as much as we love saying we have more free time, there is no more to be had. You know, we all get the same 24 hours every day. There's no do-overs. You know, if we feel we've wasted time, it's certainly not a renewable commodity. You can't take the last 20 minutes back to the library and said, I'd like to hold on to this last 20 minutes an extra couple of days. And so it's a really tough situation. Where does more free time come from? And I found that all these people who responded to the survey, the business owners I work with whom I have opportunities to have very extensive conversations, they all want this one thing. They want more free time to enjoy in ways they so far had not been able to find from business ownership, from working. And, of course, sometimes they want the free time simply to build the larger framework for their growing business, something they don't seem able to do while they're so actively engaged in the day-to-day running or crisis management of their current business situation. And what's sadly ironic about this is that many of them are about to discover a whole world of more free time, because right now, the first group of baby boomers, and I'm a baby boomer, the oldest of this demographic is turning 65. And there's a lot of business owners among that group. And it's estimated that between 2010 and 2011, between 8 and 10 million businesses are going to be put up for sale in the United States just from this age group. And yet, if those business owners are still intrinsically a part of their company's business proposition, if they are the key element that makes the business work every day, if they believe I am the business, if they think that a day away would cripple operations, then ironically, they are literally diminishing the value of their enterprise, and they are not preparing their businesses to be the enormous asset it should be that a potential buyer will find very exciting and appealing to buy.
Well, do you mind going a little bit more into this? Because it's very interesting.
Oh, sure. You know, just think about this. When you sell a business, if you and your overstuffed head, full of all of the relationships the business has, the processes that are necessary to keep it going, the deals that are being made, the ability to make decisions, and the reputation, if all of that are the primary assets of the enterprise and they're all in the business owner's head, well, then what's being sold? How will the business owner walk away from their business if she has to stick around to transfer all of its value and fundamental knowledge to the new owner? How will the potential buyer be able to envision her own success in that business if all she sees is a crazy person running around handling every element of the business, and they really can't envision themselves being successful and happy and enjoying a lifestyle if they still have to rely on the former owner to make the business work? It just doesn't make sense. And yet so many business owners don't see this, and they think that without me, this place would fall apart. And they think this is almost a badge of honor or a point of pride that they're so important to their business, when the truth is it's an enormous flaw, and it's damning their business to the inability to have an asset that's easily sold, and it almost flies in the face of why anyone chooses to devote so much time to build a business. And that is to sell it one day. That, you know, Michael Gerber of the E-Myth, he says the only reason to own a business is to sell that business one day and help it to finance the rest of your life or your next dream or next enterprise. But what are you going to sell if the whole business is stuck inside your brain cells? And so I think there are really two critical reasons for every business owner to want to find more free time, probably more if I was to add in every one of those business owners' very personal reasons for wanting it. And I think they're really important reasons, and I want to say it this way, that these two reasons for desiring more free time have become really intrinsic to every coaching conversation I have and every program I developed and sold. And it's these two points: that without more free time to pursue the big picture needs of your business, your family, your life, how will you ever do the work that no one else is capable of doing except you? Who's going to build the vision, the relationships, the alliances, the strategies, the reputation, if you, as the owner, don't have time to get them done because you're kind of operating at street level. You know, you're not up there on the 10th floor able to look down and see the big picture of what's going on, but you're down there among the masses every day, really involved with the daily needs of getting the goods out the door. Who's going to be up there on the roof of the building looking down and able to see all of the bigger elements that keep the business growing and thriving and competitive? And the second issue about needing more free time is this, that if the business owner doesn't let go of those daily responsibilities that can better be done by lesser paid, frankly, lesser paid employees, how are you going to truly maximize the value of your business and enjoy its great reward? Who is going to want to buy a business that, as I said before, just resides in the owner's head and not in the intrinsic processes and successes of the business itself? To me, it just doesn't make sense, and it often stems from what I consider as wrong-headed thinking from business owners who don't really give themselves permission to do the work that only business owners can do. They feel that the best way to justify their ongoing participation in the business is by doing, talking, writing, participating, making decisions, handling the money, hiring and firing, creating processes, when in fact that's not their role at all. The business owner's role is to be above all of that, and their only product is the totality of the business itself. And if they don't give themselves time to focus on that big picture kind of thinking, they're missing out tremendously on the real value that they can create in their business and give themselves the opportunity to enjoy in their lives.
I see. Well, do you mind giving us a couple of tips from your new book?
Oh, sure. The book has been divided organically, I think, into three sections that sort of flow into each other. The first group of tips is the kind of tips that could be useful for anyone, business owner or not, because they pertain to day-to-day living. The second group of tips pertains to personal development, ways of thinking and approaching and reframing situations that expand our abilities to enjoy better outcomes. And the last and really largest section of the book has to do with business and crafting a business that responds to one's priorities and goals, because I am, after all, a business coach, and that's really where my heart is. So I'm going to give you one tip from each of the three sections. And first tip is actually the first one in the book because I think it's really critical. Learn how to say no. Some people have been brought up to believe that yes is the most powerful word in the world. I think it's no, because we often get asked to do things, and it's very flattering to be asked, to be recognized that we have some skill or access to resources that other people don't have. And very often, as soon as we say, sure, I'll help you with that, we resent it because we discover it's really an imposition or it takes away time that we had allocated to something else. So this first tip in the book is learn to just say no and thank you for asking me on a regular basis. This is how we get out of accepting responsibilities that we'll soon resent. Just decide that having been asked is flattery enough, and delight in all the time you don't need to divert to what could have become another responsibility for which you don't get paid. So after the tip, I provide a couple of questions to help make it personal and immediately applicable to the reader's situation. So I ask, who do you know is about to ask you to take on something that you really don't want to do? What obligation did you accept recently that has become a burden and you need to let it go? And this is something that people often don't do because they feel guilty to say no, and they set aside their own needs in favor of someone else who has asked for their assistance. And that goes back to a point I want to make in a moment about being selfish, which I personally feel is a good thing. The second tip I want to relate to you comes from the personal development part of the book, and that is tip number 16 in the book, learn how to ask for help. Unfortunately, I often find people feel that if they ask for help, they're either afraid of imposing on someone or they're afraid it will reveal some flaw or weakness that they possess. And instead, they often struggle with something that they're having a hard time doing, and it creates even more stress for them. So this tip is learn how to ask for help. Why struggle with tasks at which you don't excel? Presidents do it. Why don't you? Get the help you need to complete work faster and with less stress. I know that there are some people for whom asking for help is a sign of weakness. And the way that I help people ask for help easily is this. Let me ask you, Stacy. If someone were to ask you for help with something, and you're in a position to give the help, it's not going to be an imposition on you, and it's not going to compromise other obligations. How does it make you feel to be asked?
Well, as you had mentioned earlier, it is flattering.
It is. It's flattering. It makes you feel good. As I said, you know, someone recognizes you as having a skill or a resource that they don't have, and it's nice to help someone, especially if you like that person or if they've done nice things for you. And so if you say yes, this is really a win-win situation. Not only does the person get the help they need, but you have been given a gift of feeling good about yourself and knowing that someone else acknowledges the skills you have. So that when you ask someone for help, you're really giving them a gift, presuming they're in a position to offer the help without it becoming an imposition on any other responsibilities or obligations they have. And that's how I counsel people to find it much easier to ask for help if this is something they generally don't like to do. And obviously, when you get help doing something that you're struggling with, it's a means to gain time as well as the assistance you want. And then the last tip I want to mention comes from the business portion of the book. And this may sound a little surprising for people who feel they have to pack every day full of activities in order to feel truly accomplished. My tip is don't schedule more than 65% of every day, because you never know what opportunity or emergency will show up that needs your attention. And won't it be terrific to know that with 35% of your day unscheduled, you're in a position to attend to that opportunity or emergency without the stress that you would otherwise have felt if every minute of your day was packed. So these are three tips that are designed to give anyone, especially the business owner, a means to respond to time in a way so that rather feeling that time is racing against you, that instead you're learning how to make decisions through the flow of time that allow you to attend to your priorities and those decisions and events that will advance yourself, so that at the end of the day, rather than coming home thinking, you know, what the heck did I get done today? It just ran away from me. You feel good and accomplished and having advanced yourself beyond the position you were in the previous day.
I like this. Very nice.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, there are 98 more. Where those came from?
Well, tell me,
what is a uniquely Andrea coaching experience? What's the hallmark of working with you versus other business coaches?
Well, I hope it's this, that every client who comes to work with me realizes that they truly own their business and that it doesn't own them. That's a big mind shift to make. I find a lot of business owners believe that they are completely responsible to their enterprise. And I try to tell them, no, your enterprise, your business owes you everything. So why not craft a business that's responsive to the bigger picture goals and purpose you have for your life? My clients come to see that owning a business is a tool. It's a means to crafting a full life, and it is not an end in itself. And whether that big picture comes from the resources and ideas they get introduced to through their business, or whether that big picture comes from the lifestyle that a successful business provides, or whether that big picture goal comes from the eventual sale of the business. Ownership of a business is a wonderful opportunity to achieve self-expression, to lead with strengths, to grow, to expand one's awareness of life's possibilities. Yet very often, and virtually this is why many clients come to work with me, there's an insidious, ironic process that new business owners who come to business ownership to serve their desire for freedom, for flexibility, for money, often end up building an organization that, as Dave Buck of Coachville used to say, has a lunatic for a boss, which is themselves.
Very clever. So why do you think this happens to people?
I think that a business should exist within the context of your larger life. It's one of the elements of a successful life. Obviously, health, family, spirituality, community, all the things that we consider part of a good life, that's the bigger context, and business ownership is a part of that. But too many business owners make the mistake of believing the reverse is the case, and that the rest of their life has to fit into the context of them as business owners. And as a result, they lose out on a treasure of experience, of wealth, of love, of personal abundance, of the opportunities to learn new ways to enjoy life, to experience an even bigger measure of success. I think too many business owners believe they owe an obligation to their business that supersedes the obligation they owe to themselves. And as I mentioned briefly a little earlier, I'm a very big believer in Thomas Leonard's first principle of attraction. And I don't know if you or your listeners are familiar with Thomas Leonard. He's my poster boy of coaching. Thomas Leonard, in the mid and late 1980s, really developed coaching as a profession off the athletic field and really endowed it with a tremendous body of work, with ethics, with tools, and so on. And one of his books was The Portable Coach, in which he lists 28 principles of attraction. And the first one is my personal favorite: be incredibly selfish. Now, on first hearing, a lot of people are turned off by that. But it doesn't mean be incredibly self-focused. It means take good care of yourself. It means that without taking good care of ourselves, first and foremost, we are running down our personal batteries, whether you're a business owner or not. If we don't take good care of ourselves, we lose sleep, health, relationships, the opportunity to enjoy new points of view and new life-expanding experiences. And as a result, we compromise our effectiveness to our business. So So just think as an example of a flashlight. Its beam of light gradually diminishes unless it gets a newly charged battery from time to time. And eventually, you're going to turn it on one night, and it only gets turned on when it's dark in an emergency, and there's no other light to guide us. But we'll turn on that that flashlight one day, and it will be dark because we didn't change the battery. And I think business owners do this to themselves. They run themselves into the ground, thinking they must set aside everything in favor of the business needs. And ironically, unless they take care of themselves first, be incredibly selfish, they're compromising their ability to be effective or productive on behalf of the business, and also on behalf of our families, people we love, and everything else we value. So that's why I believe in being incredibly selfish as a key to being a great business owner. So I counsel my clients, take vacations, get massages, go out and buy a new pair of shoes and enjoy an ice cream cone with a friend, because if you don't, you're not really being good to your business. And I think, you know, too many business owners have tried to cramp the rest of their lives around their business. And I don't think anyone should have to feel it's necessary to alter their lives, their family, their friendships, their dreams to conform to some runaway monster that you have to constantly feed or chain to a wall to make it do your bidding. I really think the reverse is a much healthier, productive, and freeing way to run a business, and that's to tame it, make it your servant, make your business respond to the needs you have for the rest of your life. And gaining the time to plan for just this is really part of what comes out of the tips in the book, and I hope comes out of everything that I try to advocate on behalf of my clients who work with me. And having achieved that new kind of business environment, finding that they have much more time to enjoy and build their business and enjoy their lives, it's a wonderful situation to be in, and to recognize that you have control over your business rather than the business having control over them.
I see. Well, I know you're also very passionate about effective marketing, and I know you've written quite a bit about it. What in particular do you enjoy about marketing? So many entrepreneurs, often coaches, are portrayed as disliking this necessary business function. Why?
I don't know what it is about marketing that is getting such a bad rap lately. There are some marketing professionals who are likening traditional marketing to being exposed to a used car salesperson who unfortunately always gets the bad rap. But marketing is a series of concepts. There are certainly people who perform them badly and who employ, you know, deceptive or underhanded tricks. But that's not the fault of marketing. That's the fault of the underhanded and deceptive people who engage in bad ploys. But marketing itself is really like coaching. It's really a partnership. As a coach, my role is to understand my client's agenda, their goals, their circumstances, and lead them to the solutions or the opportunities they seek within that context. And marketing is very similar. Marketing is no more than communicating to a particular audience that has told you, these are the benefits I want as a result of doing business with you. Well, marketing's job is to say, I'm in a position to deliver those benefits to you. So it's really just a communications tool. And it upsets me that now that there are so many low or no-cost marketing tools that are now available through social networking and email marketing and article marketing and blogging and affiliate linking, all these marvelous, marvelous tools that are available, that somehow marketing that used to exist in the 20th century is getting a very bad rap. And the concepts are still the same, that as marketers, as good marketers, you seek to understand who your target audience is and what particular benefit they seek as a result of doing business with your category of provider. And then you simply tell them, I'm in a position to deliver on what you want. So those are just concepts, and the same concepts apply in the 21st century as they did in the 20th and even in the 19th century. It's a relationship. Marketing is an effective relationship of being in a position to deliver what a client has told you they want. They don't particularly want your product or service. They want the benefit that they associate with buying your product or service. And this is something that is as true today as it has ever been. And I resent that there are some marketers now, especially on the internet, that are giving marketing a bad rap by saying marketing has changed. It hasn't changed. And I hope while the tools to use it have changed, the concepts remain the same. And as long as they remain the same, marketing will continue to bring product benefits together with a target audience that will be really pleased that they were in a position to gain those benefits. So that's my soapbox about marketing.
Well, thank you for sharing that with us. I understand you have a special offer for our listeners.
Oh, you know, thank you. I really am pleased that I had the opportunity to speak with you, Stacey, and the listeners who will be hearing this. And I wanted to offer this. Obviously, I'm really thrilled that I just published a book, and boy, is my mother and husband excited too. So what I would like to do is make available sort of a package, two for the price of one. And this will be, I know, discussed on the GetEI website, which is that in addition to the book, I have a 30-day e-class, which is a very broad expansion on 10 of the broad business themes in the book and how by using these tips in a more expanded fashion through the e-class, there are enormous blocks of time to be gained. And that item, that e-class, is a $20 item, which I'm happy to give as a gift to your listeners who choose to purchase the book, which is a $14.95 item. So I'm really pleased to have had this opportunity, and this is my thank you to you.
Oh, thank you very much. It's very generous of you. Thank you, and thank you for joining us tonight, Andrea.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I've really enjoyed having the opportunity to expand on some of these themes, and I look forward to what comes tomorrow.
If you would like more information about Andrea Feinberg, please go to the GetEI.com website. That's GETEI.com, where you can find out more information about Andrea. I'm Stacey Chattel. Have an excellent evening.